Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Life Powerfully. I am Raj, and I'd like for you to meet my co-host, Perletta. How are you this morning, Perletta?
I'm well, Raj. How are you this morning?
Oh, I am doing awesome. I'm really excited about our topic today. We're living in a really interesting world right now, where if you tune into social media or even just TV or the news or whatever, all we hear is there's a 50% divorce rate, 80% of people are unhappy with their jobs, you know, students are drowning in education loans and suicide, muggings and houses catching on fire, and the list goes on. So is it any wonder that the concept of abundance is foreign to many of us? And the way I like to think of abundance is a bun dance. Oh.
With a bun dance.
You know, I mean, yeah, you know, when you're in abundance, you can do a bun dance, which is fun. But the definition of abundance is it's an extremely plentiful or over-sufficient quantity or supply. Or another definition is overflowing. Fullness, and the third is affluence and wealth. And I think that probably the third definition is probably the one that we think of more. We think of it in terms of acquiring and, you know, affluence and all the things that I can get, the material wealth. And if you're sitting there going, none of these definitions describe my current state in life. So I don't have abundance, Raj. I don't have it. And what is even more concerning is that you may have settled into this state with a kind of complacency. And just like, this is just the way it is. And it's not going to change. So... or we're just trying so hard to get there. We, this morning, are here with some good news. Abundance is here now, and it is within your reach. Now, are you ready to step into your abundance? Because guess what? It is everywhere. It is limitless. And you deserve nothing less. I love what Dr. Wayne Dyer. I love what Dr. Wayne Dyer says. Abundance is not something we acquire; it is something we tune into.
Right.
Now think about that. Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's quite a powerful statement. A whole host of things, like tuning into that, is like that dial. Which lets us know what you mentioned, which is it's there, we're not focused. So tuning in for me represents focusing. I love that.
Yeah. And it's available to each and every one of us, no matter what circumstances we may be experiencing right now. That's what's really powerful.
What conjures up for me is there are many ways, I think, at least for me, I won't speak to anyone else, but other people may be able to relate to this, that we may have abundance in some aspects of our life, but not in others. You know, like we may have and quite often, you know, we're talking about external abundance, but there's also internal abundance. And so there are a host of different ways to have abundance. Because many of us want all of it, right? We want abundance in every way. It's Is that possible? And you're saying, yes, that's possible. It's possible to be so full, to be so full that you're just overflowing.
Yes. I love that idea of overflowing. Just overflowing. You know, like a fruit tree with, it's just like bowing down with all the fruit. It's just flowing with fruit. It's like endless supply of fruits, right? And it's just going to grow some more just when you thought it couldn't grow anymore.
I want to tune into overflowing.
Yeah.
That sounds juicy and delicious.
I love it. So what would be some components that would allow you to feel abundant? I believe freedom is one of them, right? If we feel constricted, if we don't have freedom of time, we don't have freedom to express ourselves, we don't have freedom to work. Some of us feel like, you know, we have to go to work, that we have to do this, right? We have a lot of have-tos, right, in life. I think freedom is a huge one. And then just feeling good. Because if we don't feel good, how can we feel abundant, right? Because that overflowing that you just mentioned, Perletta, that's more... You've got to feel good because everything is just overflowing. And then being able to be content and satisfied now, just having that, maybe just being almost in a bliss because you're so satisfied right now, not in the future.
That one sounds like it's, all, for me, tied to the satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say love, like just feeling contentment, exploring the place of contentment where nothing's missing, nothing's desired, you're just peaceful. Oh, Raj, tell us how, Raj.
Well, first, you know, like I do in my typical fashion, I like to go and look at our obstacles. We learn so much from looking at our obstacles. So what really stops us from tuning in, as Dr. Wayne Dyer says, if we're supposed to be tuning in, what really stops you from tuning into your abundance, which is here now? The first thing is just a fear of failure. And we're even afraid of succeeding, actually, because we don't know what we're going to do with that success. And the second thing I think is huge is the lack of awareness. We just don't even know because we are operating from a place of habit and preconditioning. So we have absolutely no awareness that we have the power to step out of it. And another one that I really like to think about is, you know, how am I creating my own psychological roadblocks? So I just think that we, again, we're creatures of habit, so we like to almost be on autopilot all the time, and when we step out of that, it's like when we're either going on vacation or, you know, we're going to the museum or we're going to do something fun, but other than that, we're not even really living consciously, so we're just stuck in our own psychological way of being.
Well, and one of the ways I think that it's easy to understand that is tying it to what you mentioned earlier. If you feel, if you don't feel a sense of freedom, you're probably experiencing a psychological roadblock. because, you know, they're juxtaposed, they're opposites. If I don't feel free and I feel confined, then mm-hmm. in my faith, in my job, in my relationship, in my experience of life, mm-hmm. and I can't seem to get out of that, mm-hmm. then I probably don't feel free. And that's an indication. Mm-hmm. And I'm mentioning that because I believe so often we have a roadblock, but we don't know that there's a roadblock. We believe that it is the way that it is, right, like you mentioned earlier. So one of the biggest challenges for many people is even knowing that they're experiencing a psychological roadblock, because for them it occurs as the truth. The truth of their circumstances.
Yes.
The truth
Absolutely.
Of their relationship. The truth
mm-hmm.
of their job. You know, that's that thing. It is what it is.
Right.
And
right.
when we accept things that we're not questioning that it's a psychological roadblock, and we're not aware then that there's something else we can tune into.
We're not aware that we're stuck.
Right. Absolutely.
We're not aware.
Doesn't feel like stuck.
Yeah.
No.
Because it just feels like, well, that's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
And you will find every justification for that. You will find every justification. Because that's what your experience is like. So I think this is a huge one. The other thing that we want to talk about is the way that we think, since our mind can only focus on one thing at a time, and most of us are focused on what we don't want. We are literally fighting ourselves. We are focused more on troubleshooting, on fixing, on playing it safe. Definitely this will serve us in keeping us within our comfort zone. But we're not really focusing on what it is that we really want. So we're stuck. It's like, again, it's that, you know, we're creatures of habit. And our inner programming, just our emotions and our feelings, and when all of these things, this intricate system, it's just going to keep us rooted in our fear, you know, our shame, our embarrassment. And when we're feeling any of those things, guess what? We're not going to step up to the plate for anything, are we? We're going to go back to our little way of being, our little habitual conditioned selves. And then the other thing is most of us don't know what to do with our fear either. We have it, we accept it, and then we just live into our fear. So if you're sitting there waiting to move forward when the fear subsides, well, you know, guess what? I have some news here, too. This just is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Our mind is not the best at generating happiness in our life, if you've noticed. It's our mind is only there as a protective mechanism. Okay, the mind is like a survival machine. And its primary job is to keep us safe, and its primary job is to help us to survive, and that's it. The mind doesn't mm-hmm. care it doesn't concern itself with what is right or what is wrong. It just wants to keep you safe. It just wants to keep you in your comfort zone. So that fear is just going to be there, and we have to act in you know, regardless of the fear. You know, this happens to me, Perletta, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but, you know, I will have such a good idea, okay? Even like when you and I will talk about like, oh, let's create this workshop, you know? And if I sit with it, if I don't act right away, if I wait for maybe a couple of days, that idea all of a sudden doesn't seem so great.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it's like my mind has already talked itself out of it. It's like all the doubts have creeped in, you know, all the things that can go wrong have creeped in, and I want to get back to my comfort zone. So it's almost like unless I do something, even if it's a small action towards that that new idea, something I want to accomplish, if I don't do it right away, it's going to, the excitement, the good idea is going to dwindle down into all the other many good ideas I've had before that are nowhere to be found now. You know, Ben Sweetland, I think he says it very beautifully. He says, the world is full of abundance and opportunity, but far too many people come to the fountain of life with a seed instead of a tank car, a teaspoon instead of a steam shovel. They expect little, and as a result, they get little. So if we go to the ocean with a teaspoon and say that is the water that we're going to have access to, okay, with a teaspoon, how are you going to feel when you go to the beautiful seashore? It's just, you know, it's like a whole ocean is there for you, but you're going to take your little teaspoon and say, okay, this is what I deserve and this is what I expect. So if a major reason why we are not able to step into this abundance that we say is present all around us, and our beliefs are what holds us back, where do you think these beliefs come from? Where do our beliefs come from, Perletta?
Where do our, well, I think there are levels of beliefs. So I think that there are conscious beliefs and subconscious beliefs. At the end of the day, we manufacture all of them.
Mhm.
It's just where we're creating them from. Most often, I think when we're unaware, we're creating them from the past, and they're grounded in, you know, something that happened, and so because it happened a certain way in the past, we think it's going to happen that same way or very similarly in our present life.
Yeah, so it's all this data, because up to the age of 7, we're more like hypnotized. Perletta, are you hearing a lot of disturbance?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, yeah, I'm hearing a lot of disturbance. I'm not sure what that is.
I'm not hearing any.
Really? Huh. Okay. Okay, so the first 7 years of life, we are pretty much in hypnosis. We're just watching, taking everything in, and then all of that information gets downloaded. Okay, and that's our foundation. That's our basis, right? And so what you're talking about, you know, the conscious and the subconscious, so that becomes our foundation. And so that's why we keep repeating the same things over and over, because we believe that's the way it is. So when we have this belief system in place, now our thoughts that automatically arise from within us, even when nothing is going on, you'll continue to have thoughts, and then those create feelings, and then from there we act, and that's the results that we get. So thoughts plus feelings plus action equals results.
We talk a lot on the show about slowing oneself down and focusing on meditation. We suggest that because of what you're talking about, Raj, and that is we have this interconnection of our thoughts and feelings and our actions that equal the results, and we don't know it because we're so often in the busyness of doing it, right? We're being ourselves, quote-unquote. And whenever we define ourselves in whatever way, we then focus on living into that reality that we see of who we are. And so this conversation, which I truly appreciate, is really about if you're in a conversation, if people are in a conversation about what they don't have and they believe they don't have it and they feel strongly of why they don't have it and they have all of these thoughts that are associated with why they don't have it, then the result's going to be, you know, they're interconnected. It's incredibly challenging to produce something that you don't think you can produce, you know, no matter what it is.
Absolutely. So what creates the thoughts? Well, our conditioning creates them, right? It's whatever the stuff is in the past. And when is the most opportune time to change our thoughts? As soon as you become aware of them. That's the time. Right here, you know? I mean, when you can see that it's coming from your conditioned past, at that time, you've got to change it. You've got to catch it. You've got to catch your roadblocks. So how do we change our belief system? Okay, so in our world, we are told that we are not enough. You look at the media, it's all saying we are not enough. Open up any magazine. You are not enough unless you're like, you know, skinny and wearing a certain kind of designer clothes. And if you're not, you know, wearing a certain kind of makeup, and if you're not driving a certain kind of car, we're not enough. Okay, we can tune into our abundance, though, by following a roadmap. And it's possible. We just tune in by following a certain set of procedures. So number one, we've got to set the intention. And tell the universe exactly what you want. So you've got to get really clear on what it is that you want. Okay, what is it that you want to achieve in life? Okay, if you are goal-oriented, don't focus so much on the goal. Ask yourself, why do you want to achieve the goal? How will you feel once this goal has been achieved? Okay, now you can imagine that you have already achieved the goal. How would you feel? How would you feel once you have your own company and it's thriving? How would you feel? Well, you've got to feel that way now. You can't wait to feel that way. Because it's going to take some steps for you to get there, and you can't get there if you're feeling less than, if you're feeling lack. You cannot get there. The way to get there is to feel that now. When you feel that now, all of a sudden now, you have tuned into your abundance. So ask yourself, okay, what do I want? The second thing, why do I want it? The third is, what is the strategy that I'm going to use to get it? And the fourth thing is, you've got to act immediately. So what is the smallest action that I can take right now in this moment? What can I do right now? One of the things that's really important is, yeah, this will also help you to clarify your purpose. And also, now, this is like with a big star next to it. Think about the highest value that you can bring to others. The highest value that you can bring to others. And one of the things that I always tell clients is, you matter. No matter what you're doing, you matter. And this is the opening that you create where you can actually tune into your abundance. Because if you're bringing the highest value, if your purpose is clear, and you matter, now you've created a real opening to actually tune in. Now you're tuned into the right station, okay? And from there, you can create positive habits and rituals every single day. Rituals and habits, I mean, for your mind, your body, your soul. Okay, so if you meditate every day, do it every day. If you're trying to eat healthy, make that part of your habit. If you're becoming aware of your thoughts and your mind activity, make it a habit to challenge your thoughts and to be aware and to live in consciousness. The thing is, you've got to make it a habit. So that is a key, okay, to our roadmap. The next step is gratitude. And we have talked about gratitude in so many of our shows, haven't we, Perletta?
Yeah.
And this is key. Yes, this is key because the art of appreciating, the art of appreciation is when you naturally flow into a spirit of gratitude. So just appreciating everything. So creating that gratitude journal, maybe where every day you write 10 things that you're grateful for.
And it's also around associating, I think, our feelings, because most of the time we feel grateful for what we already have. You know, we can feel a profound sense of happiness and joy in what's present in our lives. And so conjuring up those feelings of happiness and joy with what we already have, in anticipation of what we have, but and being present to that we already have it, creates more space, which is one of the powers of being grateful. And in addition to it, it just actually feels good in the moment. You know, when you're really present to being grateful, it's overflowing.
Yes, it is.
Like we talked about. Yeah.
And the last step is giving. You know, just beginning to give of yourself, of your time in service. That's what's going to help you to connect. And give before you're ready to give. Don't wait to give. Because what the giving does is it allows a connection with everyone else, with the community, and it's going to bring a higher purpose to your life. Because a lot of times we're focused on material abundance, when actually we're using now spiritual abundance to create material abundance. Because first we've got to be inwardly feeling abundance. We've got to be tuned into the abundance. And then the next step is that it gets manifested out into the material world. So I think we're just doing it backwards. we're saying, okay, we will have, once we have a certain amount, once we have a certain house, and once we have a certain relationship, you know, then we will feel really good. We will feel really abundant. And that is just not the case. We're doing it backwards. We've got to feel the abundance now. And then we manifest it out into the physical world. Epicurus says, yes, it does. It takes building habits. It takes practice. It takes awareness. Absolutely. Epicurus says, not what we have, but what we enjoy constitutes our abundance. Let me say that again. Not what we have, but what we enjoy constitutes our abundance. And Perletta, you are such a giver. And I have to say that you must feel so abundant all the time. And I just really appreciate you. You're so generous and you're full of gratitude, and I just love that about you.
Oh my gosh, that came out of nowhere. Thank you, Rod.
Yeah, I see you as full of abundance. You're just
great.
One of those people. Yes. You light up so many people's lives, and I am so grateful to have you in my life. Thank you so much for joining us today. We welcome your feedback at pearlrajradio@gmail.com, and be sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Stay amazing, stay empowered, and live abundantly.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us today. Bye.